Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's episode is presented by SeatGeek and the wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. And with six home games remaining in January, the SeatGeek app can get you some great seats at the Fieldhouse to get crazy for the Pacers. So check it out. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and I'm here to give you the latest news and notes about the Pacers as they're coming off two home wins over the holiday weekend and are now on the road, headed to Detroit to take on the Pistons Tuesday night. And on this episode, we will hit the latest news with an update on Jeff Teague's status for Tuesday night, along with a look ahead at the remaining schedule for the week. And also, with trade season in full swing, I wanted to raise a question about how the Pacers will approach the current trade market. Will they be buyers? Will they be sellers? We will surely find out before the trade deadline in the latter half of February. And finally, we'll take a look around the league at how the rest of the East fared in games on Monday night. Yes, the Pacers once again rose in the standings while sitting idle. But before we dive in, remember, you can hit me up with comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. All right, so the latest Pacers injury report continues to show Rodney Stuckey out with the hamstring injury, but today also added Jeff Teague as questionable with the left ankle sprain. No, not now. Come on. I know there was a lot of consternation at halftime on Sunday when after Teague hobbled off, and the replay showed he twisted that ankle pretty good. But when he was able to return and play the second half, appeared to be fine. Everything seemed to be great, but you know, no doubt he woke up Monday morning and felt some pain, kind of probably a similar situation to Paul George in early December when he twisted an ankle, finished the game out, but then woke up and that thing was lingering and causing problems. He was kind of in and out of the lineup a couple times, ended up missing seven games, so hopefully it's not that bad. After the game, Teague seemed fine, you know, dressed and left the arena, didn't seem like it was going to be a problem going forward. But again, once those ankles get time to rest after the initial injury, you know, it can always flare up and become a problem. But surely Teague will try to give it a go. And, you know, wouldn't it just be like this season, though, for Teague to go out right now? I mean, just when this new lineup with Glenn Robinson III starting seems to be starting to click, and Teague is really playing well, averaging 16.5 points and 9.5 assists in his last 10 games. You know, surely the basketball gods won't take Teague from the Pacers right now. You know, it just can't be the time. Give him a break. Let him try and figure this thing out and stop with the injuries clunking everything up. So, but if you consider a worst case, and he does sit out in Detroit, give him a couple more days. Pacers return home, play the Nets on Thursday, the Knicks on Saturday, and I guess you at least want to have him ready for those home games. Those are critical to keep that home mojo going. and get those wins. And then following the Knicks game on Saturday, they have 4 full days off as they head to London to play the Nuggets. So traveling isn't going to be great, but at least Teague would have some extra rest then for the ankles. So, hate to lose that momentum. That team is just desperate to continue to build right now. You can tell they really feel like they're kind of getting something. And I know it, even interesting, just a social media post from Paul George on Monday as the team was taking off saying, you know, we're ready to go get a win on the road to start 2017. And, you know, obviously the road has been a problem. They're focusing on that, trying to get over that hump. And you'd hate to see them take another hit on the injury as they're trying to get over that hump. I guess if Teague isn't able to play against the Pistons, would likely push Aaron Brooks into the starting lineup. And maybe that McMillan would cut his rotation back down to 9 players and use, you know, mostly Monte and Brooks as the primary ball handlers, along with Paul George. Not ideal, but, you know, Brooks has been playing pretty well of late and would likely slide in there pretty well. I'd be a little more nervous, I guess, if Monte went in the starting lineup, and that may be something McMillan might be more comfortable with, wanting to keep Brooks in that role he's playing since he's playing pretty well. So either way, not great. Let's just hope Jeff Teague shows up and the treatment work all day Monday and up to game time and is able to give it a go against the Pistons. Regardless, I guess if forced to choose, I'd rather have Teague ready for those home games against the Nets and the Knicks. And speaking of those home games, if you want to join the fray at the Fieldhouse, make sure you use the SeatGeek app to get your tickets. Now, SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for games you want to see up close and in person. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, club seats, or upper level. And I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and often using it to find tickets for family and friends. And I know I love checking out, seeing what kind of market is for games coming up. I'm going to pop it open right now. We've got the Nets and the Knicks coming up. I know the Nets tickets you're going to be able to get in relatively cheap, under $10. Let's see how the Knicks seats are, because those are always a lot tougher to get. And let's see. Well, you can get upper deck in the lower 20s. And what's our best lower level seat? See one for 94 there in the corner behind the Pacers bench. That's not bad for a game against the Knicks. So make sure you check out the app, because, you know, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. And best of all, for my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get the $20 rebate, simply download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Then enter promo code LOPACERS. That's all caps, all one word, LOPACERS. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS today. So, I also want to hear from listeners about the NBA trade market and whether you think the Pacers will be buyers or sellers. You know, recent news of Paul Millsap in Atlanta being on the trade block has kind of stirred up the trade rumor mill in the NBA. And considering Millsap, when you throw in Kyle Korver into the mix, who apparently also might be available, you talk about two critical needs for the Pacers. with front court rebounding and perimeter shooting. And I really can't come up with a deal that would work for the Pacers, aside from kind of blowing things up. And considering Millsap's circumstance heading into free agency, these are kind of potentially short-term moves that you wouldn't want to be giving up much to make in a deal. So that short-term cost would, you know, likely be too much for the Pacers to consider. But can you imagine grabbing a couple of guys Teague is really familiar with to bolster the lineup? Oh, just, you know, I just don't think there's enough, you know, draft picks and players not named Miles Turner to kind of consider making it work. But it is intriguing to think about. Also, you know, as far as Pacers in general being buyers or sellers, they really kind of have to wait to see how the rest of January plays out before they begin considering which way they want to go. And, you know, at least as far as selling, you know, they could be in great shape in the East, even if they finish just two or three games above 500 for the month. And, you know, obviously, the franchise isn't known for wanting to tank at all, even in PG's injury season. So I wouldn't expect them to, you know, cash in the season at any point. But they do have some, you know, veteran players at a variety of positions, different skill sets they can bring to a roster that may be looking to fill a gap that might buy them some future assets, you know, if things really take a turn for the worse this month. So that's something to keep an eye on, obviously. And again, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. Make sure you hit me up at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows, and give me some trade deals or give me what your thoughts and what you think the Pacers should do in the market as far as being a buyer or a seller. But on this Monday night off for the Pacers as they travel up to Detroit, turned out to be pretty good. They moved from 8th to 7th in the East without playing, a trick they've done a few times now this season. One reason is the Orlando Magic bounced back from their loss in Indy on Sunday and beat the New York Knicks 115-105. And also the Chicago Bulls won. They beat the Hornets, and that moved Chicago into a tie as far as wins and losses with the Pacers. But thanks to a better division winning percentage, Pacers get that seventh place nod, at least for one day. So the loss also lured Charlotte back into the quagmire in the East. They are still in fourth place, but only two games ahead of the Pacers and Bulls. So this thing continues to trudge on in the East, and we'll see if the Pacers can hold their spot in the East after they visit the Pistons on Tuesday, where they won the last time they were up in Detroit. So thanks for listening to the podcast. Again, brief update today with no practice and a travel day for the Pacers. Let's all see how they do against the Pistons. Please check it out and let me know what you think. As always, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where you can find all previous episodes. So please check those out. Now, that's all for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.